Welcome to The Telegram. I'm Tim Stanley. The Tories and Labour are neck and neck in the polls. But does the Conservative Party actually deserve to win the next election? Or have they sacrificed their principles in pursuit of power? I'm joined in the studio by the Telegraph bloggers James Dellingpole and Toby Young. We've heard and talked a lot about the electoral mechanics of the next general election, but today I want to discuss philosophy. The question I'm going to put to these two big beasts of the centre-right is, has the Conservative part of this coalition government earned the right to form a majority government in 2015? Toby.
Yes, I think broadly speaking, they have. I think, obviously, their record on education has been spectacular. Now more than half of the taxpayer-funded secondary schools in England are academies. 75 free schools or so have been set up. Another 100 or so will be opening this September. The curriculum reforms are now in train. The examination reforms are in train. There have been reforms to teachers' paying conditions. So Michael Gove's record is exemplary, and I think that's probably, you know, the number one feather in the government's cap. I think Ian Duncan-Smith has done a pretty good job. Only this week, the benefit cap has been rolled out. I think that they've succeeded in reducing immigration by a third. We've got rid of Abu Qatada. They've reduced the deficit by 25%.
It looks
as though the economy will grow in the next quarter, and the economy is now in a healthier place than it was when this government took office. All of this has been achieved in coalition with the Liberal Democrats, which has certainly constrained what the Conservatives have been able to do. And I think on the basis of what they've achieved under those constraints, they now deserve to be given a chance to form a majority government.
So, James, if they've done all of that extraordinary list of things in a coalition government, imagine what they could do in a majority government.
Yada yada, as a certain education secretary might say. I honestly can't believe that Toby can say this stuff with a straight face. It was always a given that Gove's education's policies were going to be totally fantastic. We always knew that from the off. But what else have they actually done? This I take with a massive pinch of salt the idea that they're doing anything serious to address the deficit. Conservative administration, the Conservative part of it, will go down in history as one of the most epic fails in Conservative history, because they had the chance to roll out Gove-style red meat conservatism in any number of departments, and they failed everywhere. I think they are an embarrassment. They certainly do not deserve to win the next election, and they won't.
Toby?
I think it's just wrong to characterise what the government's achieved as failing across the board, James. I mean, okay, net immigration perhaps could have come down further, but it has come down by a third this year. Okay, they haven't succeeded in eliminating the deficit, but they have reduced it by 25%. Those may be qualified successes, but they're not failures. And you say they had an opportunity to roll out red meat conservative policies across Whitehall. Well, they didn't, because they're in coalition with the Liberal Democrats.
Yeah, I hear this excuse, Tobes.
They can't.
I hear this excuse in within the bubble. You go to dinner parties attended by acolytes of David Cameron, and you hear this excuse being wheeled out yet again, that we are in, you have to understand, we're in coalition. The Lib Dem coalition partners are a very, very convenient excuse.
Right.
The fact is that, okay, I mean, this is a what if, but obviously what they should have done is they should have gone in on a minority, and they shouldn't have tried to go in coalition with Lib Dems. But the fact that they did, even so, I'm much more of an ideologue than Toby. I don't like the horse trading that goes on in politics. And I think if one had to point to one example of just why the Conservatives so do not deserve to win the next election, it is that they have failed to present a reasonable counter to the lunacy of the Lib Dem and the Labour energy policy. They didn't need to do that. Okay, Cameron went into that greenest government ever thing at the beginning because he thought that this would be part of Steve Hilton's detoxifying the brand strategy, huskies, polar bears, glaciers, etc., etc. But when the evidence started emerging, and conservatives, if nothing else, ought to be empiricists. Once the evidence started coming through of the damage that this is doing to the economy, mm-hmm. they should have said, We cannot tolerate a coalition where we are forced to adopt policies which are damaging the economy in this way and making people poorer.
Let's take that point and use it to explore this question of whether or not the Conservatives, if they had not been in a coalition, would have been more conservative. Because James does make a very good point that a number of the more liberal, more lefty stuff that the Conservatives have agreed to in this coalition, they actually did sign up to before the election took place, be energy policy, be it ring-fencing the NHS, be it ring-fencing foreign aid, it does make it start to sound like saying we're in a coalition, so I'm afraid that's why this has happened, is an excuse.
Well, I don't think it is an excuse. I think this government would have been more conservative if it wasn't a coalition government. But I also think the other constraint that James doesn't recognise is the electorate. Often people of James's ilk blame David Cameron for squandering the opportunity to win an overall majority with the Labour Party in dire straits led by someone as unpopular as Gordon Brown. But the fact is there isn't a majority out there to support red meat conservative policies. The country has to be led down this path, and I think they have been successfully led towards your point of view when it comes to
look
the environment.
If you add up how conservatives are doing in the polls and how UKIP are doing in the polls, you get a very decent majority there. It's an absolute nonsense. The fact is that the conservatives were too cowardly even to advocate on behalf of conservative policies. And if you haven't got a government making the case for doing what needs to be done, then there is no hope of ever doing what needs to be done.
Toby, he does make a good point. UKIP plus the Conservatives, that is in many places a majority.
I think James knows that I'm in favour of some sort of electoral alliance between UKIP and the Conservatives in order to try and secure that majority next time. But I do think that the reason the Conservatives could not have won a majority at the last general election, advocating the kind of red meat conservatism that James is recommending, is because at that stage the electorate weren't ready for those sorts of policies. If you look at the latest opinion polls, UKIP, in the latest ICM opinion poll in The Guardian, UKIP are on, I think, 7, and the Tories are on 36. You add those together, you get 43. I mean, is that going to be enough to form an overall majority? I certainly hope so, but that's only if you add those two things together. The Labour have been, apart from in that poll, leading by between sort of 5 and 10 points on average. I'm not sure that the constraint that the electorate imposes can be overcome as easily as you think, James.
You talked far too much like a number cruncher. It's like you've come here from Conservative Central Office to give us the latest figures, and that's fine.
You respect that.
There is always a sort of slightly going native tendency about you, Toby. Whereas I've been really out there and mildly unhinged. I admit we're yin and yang. Nevertheless, here is my prediction of what is going to happen. And I think this is going to come as a real shock to the Cameron machine, which is woefully underestimated the anger and hatred that people are feeling right now in the provinces. The last time, the last election, people sort of right wing conservatives hedged their bets. They said, should we get vote UKIP or should we vote Conservative? And in the end they swallowed their pride and voted Conservative because it's a trusted brand. This time they're not going to do that. First of all, there's going to be the carnage in 2014 at the Euro elections. We know that. The UKIP are going to do massively well then. But I don't think the UKIP vote is going to go away in 2015.
But it has slipped down in this latest poll to just 7%.
We're somewhere away from 2015. Of course they're going to go up and down in the polls.
I quite like Dan Hodges' rule, whereby in order to find out what's going to happen at the next general election, you take any opinion poll, you reduce UKIP's lead, I think, to 6. You reduce the amount of share that UKIP's getting to 6% and give everything else that they've currently got to the Tories, and you increase the Lib Dem share to 15% and take away from Labour. And that's more or less what the ICM poll in The Guardian this week says is going to happen.
Do you think that this government has moved somewhat to the right in the last year or so? And do you think that answers a lot of James's questions and problems?
I think it has. I think it has moved a little bit to the right. Yeah, it's certainly moved to the right on environmental issues. I mean, the greenest government ever. I mean, they're certainly a long way from being that.
Its spin machine is telling you that it's moving to the right. Actually, this is one of the many disappointing things about this government that For example, there was the announcement the other day about the changes to wind farm policy. And I can tell you that the night before this policy was announced, I got a phone call from a senior minister. Now, it's very flattering to get a phone call from the senior minister to be given a briefing on something that's about to happen. And this is I understand that this goes on all the time in news journalism, that people get the nod and they run the kind
never
of...
Never happens to me.
They run the kind of story that the government wants. But I think I was sold a pup. I was talking to somebody who actually understands planning policy.
Yeah.
An expert planner who's... And he said, do you know what? Most of this stuff existed already. In terms of actual significant changes to right. planning law, nothing has changed. So
Okay. But what about... I mean, you are affiliated with UKIP now. Right.
I'm actually a member of the Conservative Party as well.
Right, okay.
And you know what? I don't feel remotely, can I tell you, remotely compromised by my... I will say exactly what I think right. about politics at any
You're
given time.
You're a member time. Of both?
Yeah.
You are a member of both?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Okay. You might get a phone call from the party office about that. If you take the key thing that UKIP really is about, membership of the European Union, David Cameron has promised an in-out referendum.
Yeah, but...
And it's gone through. I believe the legislation's passed through Parliament, so it's going to happen.
6-0.
Yeah, and this is all this talk about Cameron...
Well, and, I mean, the big question we're asking here, James, is does the Conservative government deserve to win the next election?
Yeah, I've already said no.
Right, but if they are pledged and bound by legislation to hold an in-out referendum, surely, as a Eurosceptic, you must certainly want them to win and certainly prefer
that. That's all I care about.
It
may not be all you care about, but you are a member of UKIP, and until recently it was all they cared about. I mean, if this may be our last chance to get out of the European Union, not just the last chance in our generation, but the last chance ever. The ratchet may come down. It may be impossible to reverse the process.
Yeah, you always talk like this. You always talk tactically, and I respect you for it, Toby, because you're actually interested in number crunching and stuff. But I don't respect this approach, this attitude, this arrogance which comes down from the Tory party, which is that they made this calculation many years ago that people like me on the right had nowhere else to go. Mm-hmm. And so they treat us like scum. Look, you know, what are you going to do? Who are you going to vote for? Those no-hopers, UKIP? Yeah, right. Come on, get
swivel-eyed
real.
Lunatics,
and
yeah.
They're making the same cynical calculation again.
But why is it cynical to promise an in-out EU referendum? That's surely a concession to scum like you.
People thanks, Tobes.
Well, you've characterised yourself people, that way, and conservatives who feel betrayed by the party that way.
One,
surely
one,
this
number
is
one,
throwing
UKIP,
you something, isn't
UKIP
it?
Aren't a single-issue party anymore, and that was the miscalculation that David Cameron made, I suppose. Oh, yeah, keep him on side on Europe and everything else would be fine because that's all they really care about. No, they care about a number of issues. They care about immigration, obviously. They care about... things that worry me are things like the economy, duh. I worry about money printing. I worry about this massive inflation that's going on.
And James is far from alone, Toby. I mean, the big problem for Cameron right now is the split on the right, not trying to win over people on the left.
Well, I think the problem for David Cameron is that he is caught between these two stalls, wanting to win back UKIP defectors on the right flank and wanting to win over floating voters in the centre ground on the other flank. And so that puts him in a very difficult position. But I think let's put the question another way, James, which is not who is the most deserving of your vote, but who is the least undeserving. And surely the Conservatives are less undeserving than Labour. And given that it is going to be a choice between an Ed Miliband-led Labour government or a David Cameron-led coalition or Conservative government, which would you rather see?
No, it's not like that at all. And I'll tell you why it's not like that. You're describing a situation which existed at the last election. There was very, very little to choose between Conservatives and Labour. Well, of course, people are always saying on the interweb, are they not? Lib, Lab, Con. They're all part of the same problem. If you vote for Cameron, regardless of the tinkering that he's made at the margins, you are voting for continuation of Lib, Lab, Con. We're living in revolutionary times. We've seen what the Tea Party has achieved in America. Not as much as I think I'd like it to have done.
Well, it's achieved making the Republican Party virtually unelectable.
Says you, Toby. I'd say that Mitt Romney was a pretty crap candidate and was certainly not a Tea Party candidate. There is an appetite out there for and I think you're missing this because you are unfortunately too close to the Westminster bubble. That there is an appetite out there for smaller government. People are sick of this stitch-up between a class consisting of the corporations, the politicians, and the lawyers supervising all the compliance that seems to be an increasing part of government these days.
Okay, in that case, because we have to wrap up, I want to conclude by letting you both make personal statements. Toby, what is the point of a Conservative government? What is a Conservative government in power to do?
Well, my political journey is I started out as a 14-year-old anarchist, probably not a million miles from where James is now. I was a libertarian anarchist. I took the view that whoever you vote for, the government gets in, a bit like the Liblum con view. But having got involved in the free schools program, having been helped to set up not one but now two free schools, we're opening a third next year, I've revised my view of the state. I no longer, like Grover Norquist, want to reduce it to such a size that I can then drown it in a bucket alongside a kitten. I now believe that the state can be an enabling mechanism to enable people who want to do good, who want to take responsibility for themselves, take their life in their hands, to make it easier for them to do that. So mm-hmm. I've come around to this idea of the state as an enabling device.
Okay,
I think this government has done a good job of promoting that.
Thank you. I wanted to ask that question to make the point that this isn't just about chasing votes or the best way of winning, but this is indeed about philosophy. James, what is an ideal Conservative government like in power?
Well, that's a difficult question because what I've come to realise is that what I thought was conservatism isn't necessarily conservatism, which is that there is a tradition within the Conservative Party of the Heathite, Macmillanite, the Cameron Heath Macmillan situation is more likely the norm, and that Thatcher was an aberration.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that I suppose what I really am is a radical in the tradition of William Cobbett, who went through a similar path that I did. He started out believing in the establishment and the conservatism, and realised that it was all a massive stitch up, and thought a pox on the lot of them. I think ultimately government's job is to get out of the way and leave us alone. And when they do spend our money, to spend it even more carefully than they would if it were their own money.
James Dellingpole and Toby Young, thank you both very much. For more opinion and commentary, you can find us at telegraph.co.uk.